Hey everyone, this is BT, and you're probably not used to hearing my voice out of the gate. However, I just wanted to jump in really quick and let you know about the next two content episodes you're going to be experiencing. They may sound a little bit different, and the reason being is because David took the content out of the podcast studio and into our classroom space here at Team Nagel HQ. That series, he titled Transformation 2020, Planning for a New Decade, has two parts to it, and it is a teaching lesson. So if you do want to have the visuals that go along with it, I'd encourage you to go down to the show notes below and click over to our YouTube channel where you'll be able to see it on your screen. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the Successful Mind podcast, and we cannot wait to continue to put out high-level content in the weeks, months, and years to come. So, let's go.
Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Welcome to part two of Transformation 2020. All right, so here's where we left off. We're working with what do I really want, and building an image using our imagination, following the desire of our heart. So we want to get really clear on what this is. When you do this, you want to write it down. But before we go into that, I want to kind of create something where you can see the difference between what you want and the programmed information that you actually know. So this part of the exercise, I think, is pretty important. Ask yourself, based on your current results, whose goals am I living? Meaning that our life, if we really take a close look at it, we will find that it is going to resemble our mother or our father or other people of influence on either side of the family. And take a look, take a close look. Look at your parents, look at your grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, anything around you, and start writing down who is living very similar to you on both sides, and how are they living. You also might ask yourself, what belief systems do I have that are just like my parents? So ask yourself, what did your parents believe about money? What did your parents believe about sex? What did your parents believe about life? What did your parents believe about God? What did your parents believe about working a job versus owning a business? What did your parents believe about travel and education? Go through a variety of different things and write those beliefs down and ask yourself, do I have the same belief? If so, why? Because unless we really take a look at what we believe, we're not coming from a place where we're making a conscious choice. We're just saying, well, that's the way that it always is. That's what I was taught. There is no other way. That's not true at all. There is another way. But you won't know if you want to take a look at it until you actually ask yourself, why do I really believe this? And is that belief serving me? Is it literally creating the life that I want? Or is it causing me to be dissatisfied? It may be causing you to be miserable. But ask yourself, where did that come from? Because when you know where it came from, you can put that aside, and then you can begin to create something else. This is the actual process of what happens if we're going to begin to create a transformation for ourselves for 2020. Decision. Once we get really clear on what we want to create, the thing that we want to transform in our life for the next 12 months, it then requires that we make a decision. So what we're going to do is we're going to write down all the things that we want to change. Here's what I really suggest with this. I think it's very important that you pick one or two things. Pick one or two really good things to change, and understand if you pick too many, you're actually putting yourself kind of in the realm of failure, because as we change, we have to begin to adapt to that change. And if we're making too many changes, especially in the very beginning, then we have a difficult time adapting to it, because we're in such a state of being uncomfortable. When we begin to add more to that, before we've conditioned ourselves to really be able to move through it comfortably, it creates so much discomfort that we end up going into chaos and confusion in our mind, and we don't know how to actually stick with it. So it causes us to be exhausted, and then we start not following through on what we said we would do, and we end up going backwards. So one or two things, that's all you have to pick. And this process works for anybody. It doesn't matter where you are in life. You could be extraordinarily successful, but you're stuck and you want to make a transformation. It'll work the same way for you. After you write down the decision of what it is that you want to change, understand this. If you write it down, that means you're going to keep your word and you're going to do it. This is also very important. One of the biggest problems that we have as human beings is we often say we're going to do something and then we don't do it and we think, what's the big deal? It's my life. I don't have to do it if I don't want to. That's true. But we don't know what problem that's actually creating internally in us. It's creating a lack of trust. That means we literally get to the point where we don't trust ourselves to follow through on things that we're going to do. And if a person rebuilds that trust with themselves, an extraordinary confidence comes over the person and determination. And they find that there's nothing that they can't accomplish. And not just that, but they could do it in a very happy, fulfilling way. So it doesn't feel like they're struggling. Remember, struggle takes place in the mind. When you make something hard, when you go, I'm going to set a new goal for myself, and this is hard. Man, this is really hard trying to do this, to break through this, to accomplish this new thing. Where is the hard taking place? The hard is taking place in your perception. Now think. If it's taking place in your perception, what happens if you change your perception? If you change your perception, now what was hard could become easy. Now what was a struggle could become fulfilling. It completely changes your experience of what it is that you're doing. And you might think to yourself, no, this is hard. That is an absolute way of thinking that literally keeps a person stuck in the same problem over and over again, because they're viewing it as being hard. Change it in your mind to being easy. Change your mind to the place where when you change your behavior, when you make a decision to change your behavior, you're going to make a commitment to do it no matter what. That's why I said it's very important to understand where you're starting in this process. Take things that you know 100% you will follow through with and that you're going to make a commitment to do so. That will increase your ability to trust yourself. Now, when you do this, when you write this stuff out, you want to put it in your calendar. So these are the behavioral changes that you need to list out for yourself based on the decision of what it is that you want to change. So from a cause and effect perspective, you know you will get the result. If you change the cause, which is your thinking, the emotional state that you're in while you're doing it, and the behavior, the effect will be the change in your environment, people, places, and things, in your results, and in your circumstances. There's nothing that you can't change. There's no experience that any other person on the planet is experiencing that you cannot also experience by the correct use of how you think, and then backing it up with commitment and trust. If you do that, you will always get the result at some point. Yes, you have to learn to get feedback. Yes, you have to learn to correct if you made a mistake. But the idea is that you don't shame yourself when you do that. You stay based in the commitment and you calendar out your behaviors so that they're there every day. The other thing that that does is it keeps you from forgetting. Very often a person will, and I actually don't think this is forgetting, by the way. So let me point this out. Let's say that you are going to change and you're going to do something first of the year, New Year's resolution. You say you're going to lose weight, get healthy, you're going to start running, whatever it is that you're going to do. 2 weeks after you said you were going to do it, you don't even remember doing it. You completely forgot. And somebody says, hey, how's the new diet going? Or how's the new exercise program going? Or how's the new, you know, idea for the business going? Or whatever. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I said I was going to do that. I think literally what ends up happening when we set new goals is that if we understand how our subconscious mind works, which our subconscious mind does not like change, by the way, It's programmed to keep you doing the same thing over and over again because that keeps you safe. It literally causes your mind to stop focusing on the direction that you're going and focus on where you are. It'll often create fears. It'll create something we call a terror barrier, which is you will run into situations and circumstances once you set a new goal for yourself that'll scare the hell out of you. And you'll think, I can't go after the new goal. I can't do this new behavior. I have to focus on this problem right now. Everybody that ever makes a change in their life goes through that to some degree. The understanding part is understanding that that's what it is, that your subconscious mind trying to hold you back, even though you're completely having the experience and now you have to move through the experience. So like I said on the first episode of this, one of the ways that happens is fear. And people always ask, well, what do I do with the fear? Here's what you do with the fear. You allow the fear to be there. You just don't focus on it. You focus on the excitement, the enthusiasm, the direction, and the commitment that you're going, and you allow yourself to be afraid while you're doing it. Completely new behavior. Your subconscious mind does not know what to do with that. But as you begin to move through it, regardless of the fact that you're afraid, you begin to have a different experience in life. As you have a different experience, as you get different results, that programs your subconscious mind to realize that the fear that it believes in is not true. And that fear begins to go away. And it's taken over by excitement and joy, fulfillment. Like, it's a real blast to be able to go out there and create the life that you want as those fears begin to go away. So anytime we set a new goal, a big goal that we haven't accomplished before, there's usually is a respectable amount of fear that shows up. Just let it be there. Just be like, okay, fear, I know you're there. I'm not focused on you. I'm going in this direction. Anything that you try to use as a way of getting rid of the fear causes you to focus on that fear more, which makes it more real. So don't focus on it. Know that it's there. Let it be there and do its thing. You keep going in the new direction that you want to go for yourself. Remove any people, places, and things from your life that are not in harmony with your transformation. Write it out and put your new activities on your calendar. Here's the reason this is so important. The more you can align your life, the way that you're living your life, to be in harmony with the goal that you want to achieve, the less tempted you're going to be to not break your commitment to yourself and actually go backwards. I'll give you a good for instance with this. So let's say a person is going to start a new way of eating so that they're healthy in their life. If we're going to change our environment, the best thing that we can do is go through our refrigerator, our pantry, like go through all the food that's in our house, and anything that we should not be eating, get rid of it. Get it out of your house. This way, during moments of fatigue, during moments of weakness, you won't be tempted to go eat the thing that you're not supposed to eat. And then stock your house with plenty of foods and drinks of the things that you're committing to eating. This is also the same way with people. So let's say that you want to be around positive people. You want to be a positive person. You want to create and do positive things in your life. However, you've surrounded yourself with a lot of negative people. The best thing that you could do is to just let them go, ignore them, stay away from them, and begin to create and bring positive people into your life that have the ability to support the direction that you're going in. I know what you're thinking. What about if it's family? Good point. So one of the pieces of advice that was given to me in the very beginning was the people that are most dysfunctional in your family, or maybe you even have toxic people in your family, you, instead of removing them right off the bat, which, because most people just won't do it. They don't see the logic in it. They have to learn a lot to get to the point where they feel empowered to make a choice to remove people in their family if they're actually toxic. But the idea is this: just don't be around them that often. And when you are, don't be around them as long. Don't spend a lot of time with them. You don't have to completely remove them in the beginning, but just don't spend a lot of time with them. And here's something else I would suggest. Do not share your dream with anybody that does not have the ability to positively support you in the outcome of that dream. How would you know who these people are? They're generally people that have not gone after any dreams in their own life. They actually outwardly or inwardly, secretly, live in regret that they did not go after what it is that they want in life. Generally, those individuals do not have the ability to support you. And you'll end up with people making comments, people making fun of you, people putting you down, people judging you, like saying, what are you, a big shot now? Or like, or who do you think you are to do these magnificent things in your life? And when they're people that we care about, when they're people that we love, those things really hurt. And at the time you're making this growth, having that around you is not a good thing, because you'll have way too many things telling you that you can't do something versus things and people telling you that you can. Now, what we want to do is to change the way we're operating internally. This is a thinking person. This is a person who's not being controlled by a paradigm. They're not being controlled by somebody else's beliefs. They're not living the goals of another person in their family, but they're actually creating their life exactly the way they want to. So let's look at the process. The process is that you create this new image. The new image that you're holding in your mind, that image is not a reflection of your results, your circumstances, and your environment from the past. It is completely new. In the beginning, you won't have these new results. You'll have your current results, but you hold the new image in your mind. I would also suggest that your goal, your transformation, is written out in great detail, and it's something that you read at least three times a day. You read it in the morning when you look at your calendar and the new behaviors that you have to do. So you ask yourself this question: how do I want to show up with all the things that are on your calendar? How do I want to show up as a person today for these new things? So it's fresh in your mind in the morning. Read it once in the afternoon, and then at night, read it again and ask yourself how you did for the day. If you do this every day without question, you're literally going to change the way that you're thinking about what you're doing. You're going to be mindful of how you're showing up during the day. You're going to be mindful of the progress that you're making. You'll be mindful of what you're experiencing that's difficult so that you can begin to change the way that you're thinking about those things. This image is also a reflection of the desire and the image that you're holding subconsciously as far as a fantasy of what you really want to create your life. But you hold the image consciously. As you get emotionally involved in that image, it programs into your subconscious mind, and the old image that you were holding, the how, begins to dissolve. It begins to lose its power over you. As that happens, you're engaging in new behaviors, and as you engage in new behaviors, you're going to get new results. They'll probably be small at first, but they're going to continue to grow. So we have to remember that if we go back to this page here, we were working with how other people told us to live our life, how other people told us to think about our life, how other people told us how to make decisions about our life, what was right, what was wrong, what was good, what was bad. What we should create or what we shouldn't create, what risks we should take, what risks we shouldn't take. And most of it was about playing life safe, going all through your life with as least risk as possible and playing it safe. That is what we experience. So we experienced it to some degree as children, even if it was dysfunctional, because the dysfunction remained similar. So people understood how to deal with it. Doesn't mean that they were happy. Doesn't mean that they actually liked it. It just means that it stayed pretty similar throughout their lifetime. So that's what you were programmed with. And also, what that does is it determines how you think about what you're experiencing in this part of your life. Your results, your circumstances, your environment. It's constantly coming into you through your five senses. That is the what out here. What is this? What is this result? What is in my bank account? How is my relationship? Who are the people in my life? That's all the what. Subconscious mind tells you how to think about what it is that you're experiencing. This is where a person will begin to tolerate things in their life that are completely not worthy of them. Because how they think about it is this. Yeah, this might suck, but I'm not broke. Yeah, this might suck, but I can't leave a bad marriage because we have to continue to raise the children. Yeah, this might suck, but I'm secure in my job. It's always, this might suck or this might not be that great, but, and then we start to justify that. Like, I should be satisfied with that. I shouldn't really want for more. Things could be a lot worse. All of that kind of language comes from people that completely either didn't know that they could follow a dream or totally gave up on it at some point and now expect everybody else around them to live in that misery that they call their life. We then go to a place where we sometimes even try to convince ourselves that we're happy. I don't really need anything. How much of what you learned to do in your life as far as what you choose to bring in was based on need and not the real desire for what you want? You know, kids are amazing. They'll ask for everything. They don't know the economic situation of their parents. They're like, give me 2 swimming pools. You know, give me 3 bicycles. Let me go do all this stuff. And the parents are like, oh, we got to rein this kid in because we got to teach him how the world or her, how the world really works. Right. So the parents start using shame tactics in order to change the child's behavior. And it doesn't take long before that child starts to shut down and learn really fast. It's not okay to want certain things in front of mom and dad. And then eventually they just give them up altogether, or they surround themselves with people in their life that agree with the paradigm that their parents were raised with. So now you've got a societal norm of not everybody moving forward and being the best that they can. That's all based in the how. It's all based in the fear. At that point, the desire is almost completely dead in this person. And this person will probably go to their grave never experiencing life the way that they could have, never really understanding what their purpose was, never really, you know, getting up every day going, this life is amazing. I actually get to live this way, because they understood how to think. They retrained themselves on how to think, and they created the life that they want. That is the greatest benefit that we get when we begin to understand that we have the ability to choose any new image that we want for our life. It doesn't matter what it is, because the one thing that human beings consistently do is we create the results and the circumstances that we're experiencing in our life. So I'm going to leave you with this last part, and perhaps it's the most difficult for most people to accept, but when a person gets to the place where they not only understand it, but can accept it for themselves, that's when everything can begin to change. So pay particular attention to this. You may even want to watch this part over and over again. Most people are raised with the idea that whatever is going on outside of them that they call their life has some kind of power over them where they're forced to live that way. So they're kind of given an inherent victim mentality in life. All of these obstacles, all of these barriers, all of these challenges, they can't be overcome. We hear things like, that's just the way that it is. You can't change it. Don't ask for any more than that. When we realize that when we become and accept responsibility for everything that we think, everything that we feel, every behavior that we take, every result or experience that we're having, when we say, I'm responsible for it, we take back the amazing creative power to change our life. And it is definitely a place as a society, as a world that we're living in currently, where many people are moving to the opposite of that. And everything is being blamed on other people. There's no empowerment, because you can't be empowered and blame people, places, and circumstances for the results that you're actually experiencing in your life. And you might be thinking to yourself, But wait a minute, David. People have done bad things to me. I've had bad experiences that were caused by other individuals. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Accepting responsibility for yourself is not blaming yourself for what happened. You very may well have been victimized by another person, but you don't have to remain a victim. You don't have to call that thing that happened that you're a victim of it for the rest of your life. What you do have to do is ask yourself a more intelligent question, and that is, why did I have that experience? Because what's really important to know is that with every bad experience that you have in your life, with any tragedy that you have in your life, there is an equal and opposite benefit to that. However, unless we're trained to see what it is, unless we literally train our mind to be able to see what it is, that benefit is of no use to us because we can't see it. We can't conceive it. We cannot even give it much context because we just don't understand that it's there. All we see is what's wrong with that thing. But when we accept responsibility for it, we now begin to shift our mind to a new perception where we actually can see the other side of it. So remember this, nothing is absolute just the way that it is. You're only perceiving a fraction of something when you perceive something as being bad, because the law of polarity states that everything is equal and has and it's opposite. So it has an opposite side to it. You couldn't have one side of this marker without the other. There's nothing that's created in the universe that was created as a half. Everything was created as a whole. Everything is created complete. Part of training your mind to think the way that you want to think is to be able to see the completeness in everything so that you can discover what the truth is. When you can discover what the truth is, you can be more empowered to make better decisions for your life. And when you accept responsibility for your life, for the way that you think, for the way that you feel, for your behaviors, for the circumstances that you're experiencing, you empower yourself to be able to see that truth and make a new decision. Take this information and make 2020 the best year of your life. You can do it.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.